want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, tonight. Just want to show you two biblical examples of envy and how destructive it is. We won't spend a lot of time here, but one is Genesis chapter 37. You know the story well if you know the Bible. But you know the story. The story is about Joseph and his brothers. And when we say that we understand this passage of Scripture, you know that the Bible said in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." That's jealousy. That's envy. It's destructive. Now, what did this jealousy and destructive, not in check, not taken care of, but it was continued to harbor in the lives of these brothers. You know what it brought? It could have brought death to Joseph, and you know the story. They wanted to kill him. But then one of the brothers, Reuben, said, "Let's not kill him, let's sell him." But here's what I'm saying. Joseph's life was forever changed because of the sin of envy. Destructive. So I wrote down here, 1 Genesis 37, just simply Joseph and his brothers. We have a biblical example of how destructive envy and jealousy can become in our lives. Then another one, and you know, you might not think of this one, but I really, when I got to thinking and studying this, I wanted to try to show how ugly envy and jealousy was. If you'll look in 2 Kings chapter 3, now we normally don't deal with this subject when we look at this passage of Scripture, but we really talk about Solomon's wisdom. Because, you know, he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and became the most wise man in the earth. But we see something in this story. This is a sad story, but you know the Bible says that there were two women that were harlots unto the king, and they stood before him. And you know what happened. They both had children. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse 16, all the way through verse number 28. You hear of this story where these two women, they both had children. One of the children died in the night, and the other child lived. And so the woman's child that died, she ran in there in the middle of the night, stole the child, put it in her bosom, and then she took that dead child and laid it in the bosom of the other woman. And by the way, they brought these two women in the front of Solomon because he was wise. How are you going to judge? And he was wise, because here's what he said. He knew the real mother would not allow harm to be done to that child. But I want you to notice the reaction of the lady that could care less about the baby. She was just jealous because she didn't have one and this other lady did. The Bible said, verse 25, "And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other one. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." She was perfectly fine with killing that child. Now listen to me, church. That's how ugly and destructive envy and jealousy becomes. Destroys lives. It destroys relationships. So the two examples here, perfect examples in the Word of God, true stories, Joseph and his brothers and the two mothers. So both show the danger of allowing the sin of envy to take root in our lives, and the sin of envy will truly bring death. So there's two areas here we must refuse. Number one, we must not create envy. Write it down. Don't create envy. You say, "Pastor, how do we create envy?" Now listen, I'm not going to go into that story that I mentioned before we turned the recorder on, but someone made a mistake there. Their intention was good, but listen to me. You never compare someone to somebody else. I know the motives are usually right. You're just trying to encourage somebody to do right and to live like them. But listen to me. People are never the goal. Make Jesus Christ the goal. Their motive was right. They're trying to tell people, "Oh, look at him. Have you seen how they live? Have you seen how they live? Do you see how they do? Look, you're creating envy there. Don't do that. If you're going to brag on somebody, you're going to compare somebody, compare him to Jesus. He's always the standard. Always. Because when you compare that to someone else, a friend or someone else in the church or another pastor, I've heard other pastors say, "Well, I'll tell you what, you need to watch my path." Don't do that. You create envy and jealousy. And by the way, the other pastor's not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Amen, church. So don't create envy. You do that by bragging. You do it by comparing. By the way, Jacob did it by loving others more than himself. Listen, you ought to love everybody. Now listen, your children, and I've learned this, me and Kim, we can say, Mom always said, I love you both, but I love you the same, but I love you different. I get that, but she loves us the same. She never showed any more favor to Kim. She never showed any more favor to me. My wife struggled very hard not to show favoritism between the two children. Why? Because you know what that does? They're normal. They're human. They're going to struggle with envy and strife. So let's not create it. Number one, don't create it. You be wise. You got to think about things. But don't create envy. Most of the time when people do that, it's good motives. But people don't take it that way. So make Jesus Christ the goal. Number two, and this is what this session's on. You cannot harbor envy. You cannot harbor envy in your heart. It will destroy you and relationships. Now, that's what this session's about. So places we must be aware of envy because it will destroy our relationships. And by the way, these are just helpful. I'm just trying to be helpful. We don't have all the answers, but these are some of the things we've gleaned and learned through the years. And I hope and pray this will be helpful to you. Number one. Envy towards our children's spouse. Now, here's where we're going here. This means, this is one of the big three. Would you agree? When we counsel with people, this is one of the big three that we struggle with. About every marriage that we've ever dealt with that has been a struggle, this right here has been one of them. Family. 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 The other one's finances. And the other one's faith. That's the big one, faith. Usually it's a faith problem, but normally it's a family problem. I bet you 9 out of 10 that we deal with, this is what we deal with, family. And so this will help us, and we can help others. So I'm going to turn this over to Miss Laura because I'm going to be honest with you. I think new mama-in-laws struggle more than daddy-in-laws. Can I get a witness? And what I mean by this is, we're dealing with the jealousy of, let's say, me and Laura struggling with Miss Ivy. Let's just be honest. This is what we're talking about. We're struggling with our children's spouse. And you say, Pastor, it don't happen. It happens everywhere. People won't admit it, but it's evident. So, Miss Laura, would you share a few things here, what you think?
Okay. Like you said, we just want to give you some helpful things. Some things that's we've learned because it's helped us, or maybe we've learned it because it was something that didn't work and we learned from it. But one thing to all you mothers. I think it's funny that our first session's on envy and jealousy because I'm dealing with that right now with all of y'all sitting in them seats. I'll just be honest. But one thing I encourage every mother and father too, but really mothers, start praying now for your children's spouse. Because that helps prepare you and it helps prepare your heart. When you raise somebody for all them years and you draw them close to you, and then all of a sudden you have to push them, it's hard. But if you ask the Lord to start preparing your heart now to have a true love for that spouse that your child is going to choose, it makes a huge difference. And I'm going to say this, and I believe it, and you can't change my mind otherwise, but there was times years ago before Clay and Ivy started dating that she would call me and ask if she could come by, and her and I would sit on my front porch, and she would talk to me about relationships and dating, and she would want advice. And I'm sorry, but I'm taking it that that was the Lord giving me a special blessing because I got to love Ivy before Clay did. And you can't convince me otherwise. But I challenge you, pray for your children's spouse even now, even when they're little, tiny, because that's preparing you, to preparing your heart to make that transition, but it's also preparing your heart to love that person when that time comes. You know, our greatest desire for our kids is to raise them, to get them to the point where they're ready to be an adult and get married. And if that's truly our desire, then we should be thrilled for them, and we should be ready for that. Thank you. We should be ready for that point in their life. And Mark and I was married, and we've had a happy marriage, and there's a difference. And you should want your child to not just be married, but to have a happy marriage. And if you really want them, then you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to push them to your spouse. Yes. You're going to have to stay in your lane, as so many people say. And you're going to let them, you got to have to let them have that time to build that time together. So pray now that the Lord helps you, because I'm telling you, it's not easy, but it's wonderful to get to watch them transition into that stage in their life. And then just practical things that help keep me in track is live by biblical principles. I'm reading a book right now. It's an old book by John R. Rice on courtship, marriage, and children. And I do like to read other things, but make your Bible your primary resource. It is and will always be the most practical book you can ever read. It's going to help in any area of your life that you're struggling with. Plus, think about it this way. The Bible is the only book where the author truly loves every reader of it. You can't say that about any other book, but you can say that about the Bible. Don't be selfish. You know, our natural tendency is we've raised this son or daughter for so many years, and it's hard just to let go and let God. But you can't be selfish. You gotta let that happen. And then love. Just love them. This was easy for me. Because like I said, I loved Ivy before Clay did. And Ivy has made it easy for me to love her even after they've gotten married. So I'm thankful for that. But, you know, you hear the saying, love begats love. If you're struggling there, just love on them. Just love on them. Just love on them. Because it's going to come back in return. It may take a little time, but just love on them.
And one of the things that when we were talking about this, you know, it's the way, you know, we trained them. We trained them, and I even catch myself sometimes on Miss Edgy. We're in the teen room, and I know I'm dealing with teenagers. Some of these teenagers are like, what's he talking about this for? But it is preparing. And if you'll have the goal that you're trying to train your child to be the right kind of husband or wife to his spouse, then you're certainly not going to be the one that's going to put a damper on that and put an edge between it by making that harder. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're struggling with that, I'm going to tell you, your son or daughter is struggling worse because they're trying to balance it. We should never put them in that position. We tell our Brother Clay all the time, look, you got to choose, and not that he, but we're constantly telling him, you know, and reinforcing, not even by words, but just saying, we want him to choose Ivy. And so with that, push, you got to push. Because, you know, I think it's true. We pulled our whole life. You pulled Clay and Kaylee to you. I think that's a biblical principle. You turn the heart of its father to the child and the heart of the child to the father. And I think that's true. But when they become married and starting that marriage, that betrothal time or that courting time, you have to push. And that's what we put here. If you look at the blanks, you must ask God to help you to push them to their spouse. This is not natural for us, but it is right. It is right. And the scripture there is Genesis 2:24, because the principle there is to leave and to cleave. And think about that when that was written in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Adam and Eve didn't have parents. So that principle was for us. It's not easy, but we must be right. We must be spiritual. So I hope and pray that that's been helpful to you. That is one subject that has caused a lot of issues in marriages. The mom won't let go. The mom's jealous of the mother-in-law or of the wife, or the wife's jealous of the mother. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's dangerous. It's very, very destructive relationships. And so in this particular setting, we're asking for the person, that would be me or Miss Laura, if you have a son, they're getting ready to get married, or you have to guard your envy towards that. The second thing that we want to deal with tonight quickly is spouses must not envy the relationship their spouse has with their family. This is a big one. I can speak to people that are 60 years old. I'm telling you, 60 years old, and they'll say to me, I'll tell you right now, every Christmas and every Thanksgiving, we always had to go to her parents. We never seen mine. Something ain't right there. Something's not right there. There's some jealousy there somewhere. So, how do we deal with that? Miss Laura?
Well, again, I like to have things to keep me in check. So, you know, in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments is our relationship with God. But the next six commandments is our relationship with other people. And that first one of that six is to honor thy father and thy mother. So, if you're not honoring your father and mother, what's that mean? That means you're rebelling against them. If you're rebelling against your father and mother, then you're rebelling against God. So that kind of keeps me in check. So when Mark and I got married, that means I have two sets of parents. Because we became one. So his parents became my parents. My parents became his parents. So not only now am I supposed to bring, not only am I supposed to honor my parents, but I'm supposed to honor his parents, who are my parents. So, and I know that's hard when you're first married because you're trying to tug that husband and pull him to you. And like we talked about, that relationship there is difficult. And one area that I wish that I would have caught a hold of when I was younger is I wish I would have loved him through that transition instead of trying to nag him. Instead of nagging him through that transition, I should have worked more diligently on being the kind of wife that he would feel comfortable to put as much faith into me as he did his wife. But see, his mom. But what I didn't realize at a young age is she had loved, nurtured, cared for him for 19 years. He could have faith and trust and confidence in her because she proved herself to him. It was my time to prove myself to him that he could feel that way with me as well. But I failed. I tried to nag him through it. I tried to tell him that he needed to choose me and blah, blah, blah. But I encourage you, if you're just getting married or you're not married, determine in your heart that you are going to love your husband through that transition and you're just going to work on trying to be the kind of wife to where he could feel comfortable having that relationship with you, because it will come. I promise it will come.
And we do see a lot of this with young wives that struggle with their mother-in-law. And they're quite jealous of their son's relationship with their mother. But here's the thing, you can't be either none or all. Because, again, like she said, and that puts the son or the daughter in a very bad position because he should be loyal and love his mom. And here's the thing about that, and I know I can speak here. But the young man, the man getting married or been married to the son, he has to balance that. There should never be a time where his mother doesn't think that he loves her and that he honors her, but for sure his wife should never think that he's choosing his mother over her. And so the son there in that, and we deal with this a lot. This is something that it doesn't seem fair to the son, but it's something that he has to understand. He has to balance that, and he can. It might take a sit-down talk. And I know early on, and our situation might be different than others, but, you know, there was a situation where when Laura and I got right with the Lord, me and her sat down with my mom and I, and we sat down with her mom and her dad, and we just sat and talked about things. You know what? We never had to go there again. And because they knew God was working in our heart, and we were going to choose one another, and they never wanted to come in between that. And so I just feel like sometimes we take things personal, especially a mom or a dad, if they think, well, they're spending all their time with their spouse. Listen to me. You want them to. Amen. But then, not only that, you want to make sure that you're encouraging your son or your daughter to love his in-laws just like they would love you. And so that's very important, and I know we deal with that today quite often. And here's what happens if this doesn't happen. It creates resentment and unfairness. It creates resentment and unfairness. Somebody has to be the bigger person. And if someone's going to continue to be jealous and they're always wanting to take the time during holidays, there's going to be one person that's always going to give in more than the other. It shouldn't be that way. Both should care enough about each other that we should spend ample amount of time with both of our families and not be selfish and only want it my way. That's so destructive today. And really, that's one of the things that decays the marriage, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to take responsibility for it. So this envy will destroy. And so the little thoughts there that we put, again, this is not natural, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual. And I want to just say this quickly, just as a little tip that Laura's helped me, and I really didn't think about it. And I know Mom and Dad know this, but Laura is always encouraging me to do something special for my parents. She's always doing that. She's always, if we have a special day, she wants me to make sure. She's the one that reminds me, call your mom, call your dad. Hey, it's Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. And I wish I could say with all of them standing right here that I pick out all of their gifts. But I'd be standing right here in front of you and God and everybody and be lying. Thank God for a young lady to encourage an old man to love and honor his parents. And I thank God for that. And so let's work at it. Number three.
And just a little tidbit to young married people. Mother's Day is Mother's Day. It's not Wife Day.
That's right.
Encourage your husband to show honor to the mother. It's not about you.
That's right. That's right.
And in him doing that, he's training your children to do that when they become an adult.
Amen.
So just remember that.
Amen. Number three. Spouses must not envy their children's relationship with the other parent. Now you think this might be strange, but in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, it's talking about honoring and loving your parents. And you know, this is one of the things that, and I'm going to let Miss Laura speak here just a second. You say, Pastor, have you really dealt with this? We've really dealt with this. Where a parent has been jealous of maybe a son's relationship with the dad or the daughter's relationship with the dad or the relationship with the mom. And we've dealt with this. And this is a destructive thing in many areas. But I want you to notice the little blank there. The sin of envy causes destruction for the future. This is a future destruction that takes place. It might not show up when your children are small. But this envy and jealousy between a parent with another parent, it shows up greater when these children are able to talk and to communicate. And so we've always got to keep things in mind about the future. And so my thought here is the goal, and I think Laura and I both came to this agreement, this would be helpful, is the goal should be the same for both parents. And if you both have the same goal for your parents, for your children, then jealousy should never get in there. Would you like to share that? Because I know something we were talking about. I realized that through the years of Clay and Kaylee's life, there were times they called me. I knew when they asked for me, I already knew what they were dealing with normally. They were dealing with a certain issue and they wanted Dad's help. But when there was other things going on in their life, and that was most of the time, they wanted to talk to Mom. And I was never jealous of that. And I want to say this. When we were talking about dealing with this subject, I could have filled out the statement before she finished. Here's what she said. She said, Mark, I've never felt that way towards you. She said, the only thing I desired was for my children to be closer to you. And there were a lot of times because of ministry and other things in my life. And I want to say I regret them today. There were many times that I should have been there, that I wasn't there. And she was always trying to encourage me. She never was jealous of my relationship with the children. She was always trying to encourage me to be closer, to do more with our children. I'm thankful for that. Maybe you'd like to say a word.
Yes, I think what he says most important is you as parents need to have a common goal of what you want for your children. And, of course, that ultimate goal should be that they build a relationship, a personal relationship between them and the Lord. And so everything that you try to teach and train should be into that direction. And then another thing is you never want your children to feel like you're separated on an issue. Right. Don't let them separate you. Now, there were times where maybe Clay came to me and he wanted to talk about something. And he knew he was going to talk to Dad, too, because that's just the way we did it. There was never, I kept secrets from him about the kids and vice versa. That's just not safe. Plus, that also teaches the kids disrespect and division. But he may have come to me to maybe so I could help break the ice as he went to talk, or vice versa. Kaylee may have done it. But they always knew that we were going to sit down together and we were going to be on it together. Even if we disagreed on something, we tried to wait till they wasn't with us and we tried to discuss it together so that we didn't create that division with our kids. And then the second thing is, like he said, this is kind of a weird concept for me because I've never had jealousy towards Mark because of his relationship with our children. So it's weird to me, but because in my mind I'm thinking, as long as they're getting help, what does it matter if it come from me or from Mark? As long as they're getting the help, isn't that the ultimate goal? So to me, that's just, if you have those feelings, that's almost a selfish, like you just want them to have the best relationship with you. But your goal shouldn't be your relationship with each other. Your goal should be their relationship with the Lord.
And, you know, I want to just mention there quickly, and look, a lot of you have already raised children. You get this, and ours is raised. But I want to say to the ones that's raised children, I want you to know something. Things change when they're able to talk to you. When they can reason. And by the way, I want you to know, we love every child and teenager here, but there's not one teenager or child in here that's perfect. There's not one. And I'm just going to be this, and I say this as lovingly as I can. We're all con artists. We're all con artists. We want our way. And so, listen, if you have children at home, you better not let them separate you. Because if you're always the one they go to and you give it, and the other one's always the stopper, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be resentment and bitterness and confusion and destruction down the road. Because you're not on the same page. And you've helped create envy and bitter in their lives. But also, if you're bitter because your spouse is always the one that says yes and never listens to you, y'all have created that. You've got to be on purpose having the same goal and dealing with all these things. So when you're parenting, you know as well as I do, it takes time, it takes work, and it takes sacrifice. It's not for the faint of heart, and it takes a lot of communication. And so let's guard against these envious things, these relationships. Then last, as we close, parents must not envy godly influences in their children's lives. Now, I'm going to just say this without breaking any trust, but there is a couple in this church that encouraged me greatly just a few weeks back. And the wife said to me, we know we need an island. We know we need a community to help with our children. And I want you to know, and I'm going to say to that person, that's wise. That is so wise. And so, with that being said, here's what you'll miss in that blank that I put there. Parents must not envy godly influence in their children's lives. And I've used 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. You can look at it later. But this is where David was so discouraged. He was so down. He was hiding in a cave. And Jonathan came to him, and the Bible said he strengthened his hand in God. Thank God for the people that have come to our children's side when they were in the middle of a cave and strengthened their hands in God. Thank God for them. And so with that being said, here it is. Envy will destroy the opportunity for life-changing influence. Life-changing. Now, we have a personal illustration here because our son today, his life was changed because of Aaron McGuirt's influence in his life. There was something going on in his life that he did not want mom and dad talking to him about. He needed someone because mom and dad had not been raised in a pastor's home. And he was struggling with things. And thank God there was a man by the name of Aaron McGuirt that took an investment in him and reached out to him. And Brother Clay will tell you tonight that God used his influence in his life to change his life. Let's say I was a jealous dad. They said, hands off, boy. That's my territory. I would be a fool tonight. I'd be a fool. Thank God for godly influences. And I love what you said about that earlier. Would you share? Because it still goes back to your parents.
Yeah, we were talking about it today, and I was just personally trying to think of people in my life other than my parents that had had a spiritual influence in my life. And I started in my mind thinking, you know, there was Frances Worley, there was Julia Allen, Betty Atkinson. I was naming these ladies. But then it dawned on me, you know why? Because my parents made sure that they had me in the right kind of environment to where I had those godly influences in my life. And I'm even going to go a step further. Yes, they kept me in church. I didn't have a choice. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every teen activity I couldn't miss. But they took it a step further, and I see this importance in my life the older I get. They kept me in a Christian school from K-4 to 12th grade. Because of that, there's so many of my teachers that had a godly influence in my life that I would have missed out on. So even now, I need to go call my parents and thank them for that, because without them wanting to make sure I was in the right kind of environment, I would have missed out on those godly influences in my life.
And we're going to close because we're 5 minutes after. We're late. We got a long-winded preacher head up here this night. But I want to close with this. Here it is. Does it really matter who? Really? When your children, its influence has been for God and someone's come along and helped them, does it really matter who? Just thank God somebody did. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. So let's allow envy and jealousy. Let's kick it out the door. And I wrote this down. We're going to close. You want to write it? Envy is seldom confessed to. Envy and jealousy, most people never confess it. Most people never deal with it. They just keep on. They make excuses for it. But I'm going to tell you this. But we realize that it is at the root of a lot of destruction in homes and families and relationships. Envy is seated and rooted in pride. We must ask God to purge it from our lives. The very moment it pops up, we better ask God to deal with it, because it will bring destruction. Amen. So God help all of us. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you for being so patient and kind. And I hope this has been helpful. If you have any helpful comments or thoughts that we could be more helpful in, please do. Now remember, the last Sunday night of this month, we've only got two things that's come in. We've got two different subjects, and it will not take up the whole time. So if you have something you'd like to discuss, if there's a question, some type of a subject, something that would be helpful, put it on a, you don't have to put your name on it, just put it in the offering plate and just put it on there, and it'll get to us. And we'll deal with it. Like I said, we don't have all the answers, but boy, we sure do have the Bible. And we've got a lot of experience, and we've got a lot of resources that's been in our lives. So let's help one another. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray and close tonight. And I'm going to ask, would you pray in a very specific way? That you'd ask God to help if you struggle with this or you have been struggling with this. Would you ask God in a personal way to help purge this from your life? And then I say to every mother that has a child that's going to be getting married, can I ask you to actually start tonight? You start praying to prepare you, because you know what? 10 years ain't that long. Let's deal with it.